be seated. What a great blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you so much, praise team and band. And guys, we'll have an opportunity during the Lord's Supper today to listen again to Davidson playing quietly in the background for that. I begin today's message with grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Today we begin our new series called King. And today's message will be part one, which is the gift of the gospel. Please turn in the Word of God to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We will be in verses 15 through 17 in the Word of God. By the way, if you have the Word of God in your hands, whether in printed or digital format, please raise your Bibles all over the sanctuary up in the air. Amen. If you're in a sanctuary Bible and you're a visitor, that would be on page 1362. Amen. But you know what? It is the Word of God that we preach and we teach here at Living Hope Church. Amen? Yes. You know, in spite of what the current world situation is, in spite of what the political atmosphere is, we cannot change the Bible to cater to our lives, right or wrong. The Word of God stands true. Amen? Yes. I mean, we look at the things that are happening in our country. Men going into ladies' bathrooms? When did that become okay in the eyes of God? When did that become okay? Do they not remember Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did there? He can do once again. Amen? Yes. That is certainly not in Scripture. Friends, we must change our lives to fit the Word of God. I don't make who God is. God makes me who I am. I didn't fashion him after my image. He fashioned me after his image. Our lawmakers may try and redefine who a man is and who a woman is, but they will never redefine who God is. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. And he is a God of judgment for those that defy him. And he has revealed himself and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the idea that man passes laws in direct defiance of God and his Word is an abomination before our Heavenly Father. God has said in his Word, "I am the Lord and there is none other like me." Give him praise in his house, Living Hope Church. This is his house. This is his Word. This Holy Scriptures are the Word of God. They do not contain the Word of God. If you are at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, if you're there, please say amen. Amen. The pastor himself has now arrived at today's passage. Reading from the Word of God, we will read all three verses. These verses will be at the core, the central theme of our current three-part series. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. I love this next passage. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. It is a wonderful, wonderful passage of God. As we begin this series, this week will be part one, and we will talk about the gift of the gospel. Next week will be all about the grace of the giver. And then finally, the third message, the week after that, will be all about the grandeur and the glory of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we are going to focus in on verse 15, a verse that is incredibly simple, a verse that is incredibly straightforward, therefore a verse that I can preach. It's so simple that you can put me up here to preach this thing. And it is such a marvelous thing, because this verse, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is an amazing gift from our God. Amen? The good news, the gospel, is needed because of our sin. Man has been separated from God. But the gospel message found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you can mark that on the side. If you're a long time attending member of Living Hope Church, you know that passage probably by heart. But 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 4 say, and I'm paraphrasing here, that in the fullness of time, because of our sin, God sent His Son from heaven to live a perfect and sinless life, to die on the cross for our sins. That He did that according to prophecy, that He was dead and laid in the grave, and He was there 3 days. But on the third day He rose again to the glory of God the Father. And therefore, because Christ has conquered death, because He has defeated sin in the grave, a resounding defeat, because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I can have eternal life with God the Father in His heaven. If there is ever a place in the Bible that contained the gospel of Jesus Christ in one verse, it's verse 15 of today's passage. This is the faithful saying, and worthy. That word worthy means weight. The weight of the glory of God. He is worthy, amen? Worthy of all acceptance. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Lord, we give You praise and glory this day. Let the teacher speak Your word without the slightest possibility of error. Father, I call upon the power of the Holy Spirit so that I would preach fearlessly what You have called to be declared to Your people in Jesus' name. And so how is this great gift presented to us today here in verse 15? I have three very simple points. I know you guys are happy I had 9 last week. Today I have 3. First, our first point today, we will see the king's medium. Now you're probably sitting there thinking, medium? Medium? What's that? Well, medium can mean many things, but in the context of this passage today, it is an intervening agency by which something is accomplished. I'm going to say that one more time. It is an intervening agency whereby a task or something is accomplished. It can also be a means of communicating information, a medium. In this case, verse 15 is both. It is both. And the medium that we are presented with here today is none other than the Son of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus Christ is the intervening agency. Jesus Christ is the means of communication of God's plan. And the explanation of the Christian life begins and ends in the person of Jesus Christ. There is none other like King Jesus. Amen? He is fully God and fully man. There is no part of Him that is not fully man. There is no part of Him that is not fully God. They resign in the incarnate declared Word of the living God, the Logos King, Jesus Christ, that came to die on the cross for our sins. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says that there is no other name under heaven or earth whereby we may be saved other than by the name of Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. We receive Him as Lord. If I tried to preach salvation by a man, that Savior would be unworthy of all of our hopes. Amen? Has man ever let you down? The rest of you fibbers can acknowledge that later on. Of course man has let us down. Of course people have let us down. If I tried to preach salvation by man, that Savior is unworthy of my hope. My hope is in the Lord. Because when men die, men remain what? Dead. When men die, men remain dead. Go to the graves of the leaders, the originators of all the great religions of the world. What will you find? You will find dead men. If you go to the grave of Buddha, guess who you will find in there? Buddha. If you go to the grave of some of the Hindu leaders of all the different sects of Hinduism or Sikhism, you will find what there? You will find those men in the grave dead. If you go to the grave of Muhammad, you will find Muhammad dead. But if you go to the grave of King Jesus, you might as well stay home because it is empty. Amen. He has risen again to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Give Him praise in his house. When Christ Jesus died, he did not remain dead. And on the third day, he rose again. And by the way, the world has been denying it ever since. They've been trying to keep him buried for all time. Well, he fainted and swooned and was placed in a grave and recovered later. Really? He rolled aside with spikes driven through his hands and wrists that would have broken his wrist and the nerves, with spikes driven through his ankles. Think about that. You ever stub your toe? When you stub your toe, are you in the mood to rise up, ignore the wounds in your hands and sides, ignore the spear that's been driven into your cardioperitoneum, if I got that one right, you nurses can let me know later. Don't send me emails. I know I got it wrong. Amen. A spear that was thrust up into his side would spring up because he recovered and roll aside a 4-ton stone covering the grave. Nonsense. Amen? Amen? Total nonsense. Therefore, when Christ has risen again and through his resurrection, Jesus is the only one that is adequate for our salvation needs. What about the angels? Can salvation be found in the angels? Absolutely not. Throughout all of Scripture, with one exception, Lucifer. Lucifer was the most beautiful angel ever created, but he fell and became Satan, the accuser. But what about the other angels? Are they worthy to be called Savior? Absolutely not. You look throughout Scripture, and every time an angel comes on the scene, the angel says two things. Fear not, and get up. God is worthy of our worship. And the angels say, don't you dare bow to me. Get on your feet and lift up thine eyes unto the heavens, to your Lord. Amen? So don't place your trust in angels. Don't place your trust in men. Don't place your trust in any priest. Don't place your trust in a confessional booth unless you're the only one in that confessional booth and you're talking to your Holy Father. Confess your sins directly to God the Father through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive salvation. Because John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, place your trust where it belongs. Jesus Christ came to live on the earth in human form. And although He was the Son of Man, although He was bone of our bone, although He was flesh of our flesh, He was, He is, and He always has been eternally the Son of the living God. He is King Jesus. And He has a name. He has a name. He possesses within Himself all the attributes that constitute a perfect Godhead. May I ask you a silly question? Sitting here today, what more do you need as a Savior? What else do you need except King Jesus? You need more? Okay, I'll give you some more. Let's look at His name again. Christ Jesus. You say, well, what's in a name, Pastor Larry? Well, my name, Larry, comes from Lawrence, which I'm from Mississippi. They would have never named one of their children Lawrence in Mississippi. That would have led to beating up, all right, out in the countryside. I've named Larry. The root of that name is Laurel. Laurels are what the kings used to wear, what Caesar used to wear as a crown. It's a laurel. It gives praise to the king, and I want my name. I want my life to give praise to my King. I want to be one of the crowns of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be one of His men that declares His Word fearlessly in spite of what is going on in this world. But what about the name of Christ Jesus that we see here? Christ, Christos, Jesus, Yeshua. Christ Jesus, what does that mean? What do those words originally come from? It means anointed Savior. Christ Jesus, anointed of God, Savior. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? What amazing terminology. What amazing phraseology. And what this exactly means is that the medium of communication, the medium of the intervening agency that God has decided to use for our salvation from before the foundation of the world was His Son, the anointed Savior. Christ knew before they ever created the first thing that he would have to go to the cross. And he went to the cross, and he created all of creation, knowing that. Isn't that good? Isn't that good, Brother Billy? We're so glad to see you back in service, brother. I know you haven't been well. God bless you. Isn't that good, Miss Shirley? That before the foundation of creation, Christ knew he would have to die for my sin. And he created everything anyway. He did it anyway. Don't miss this. We find within his name, anointed Savior, that Jesus did not come by accident. Jesus did not come without any backing. Jesus did not come without any authority. Jesus was sent as the anointed of God the Father. Therefore, Jesus Christ was sent with all authority of the great Jehovah God. Whatever authority you think is found in Jehovah God, Jesus comes with the same authority. Our eternal souls rest on two things. Our eternal soul rests first upon the divine person and the divine office of Jesus Christ. Christ, the anointed of God. And it rests second on His anointing, having been commissioned by heaven. He is our Savior. He's been appointed of God. He is the one mediator, fully God, fully man. And it is in His person alone that salvation is found. That reconciliation between God and man takes place. And all God's people said. Amen. So first we saw the king's medium. Now second we will see the king's method. The king's method. Simply put, God's method is that your salvation comes through the gospel message. The good news that we've already read and we already talked about from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 2. But the lost person asks, saved? Saved from what? Saved from what? Well, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? What does Romans 6 23? That the wages of sin are death. All have sinned, and the wages of that sin is death. Preacher, what do you mean by death? Now, I realize we have a bunch of church people here, but I'm going to explain quickly that death can come in the physical form, of course. But when Scripture talks about death, it's talking about eternal separation from God. And that eternal separation from God happens in a place separated from God. And that place is called hell. And the problem that we have these days is we have too many preachers that will not preach that Christ is crucified, and they will not preach that hell is hot and that it exists. That I call them what I call the joy boys. Peace and happiness and everything good comes from the Father. Well, every good thing does come from our Father. Amen. But the good that God has done is the good that points to the glory of Himself. And so therefore, when you're worrying about the things, we talked about this last week, that you are going to right now, I want you to understand that you are His instrument of declaring to the world His glory. Are you going through a tough time? Did you just go through an operation? How did you fare there? Did you still give God glory? Then God is exalted. Are you going through treatment for cancer? How are you faring there? Do you still give God the glory? Then His name is lifted up. Do you still trust King Jesus? So spiritual death is an eternity in hell, but oh, spiritual life. We talked about heaven last week, amen? That's where spiritual life is, an eternity in heaven. Friends, salvation involves the redemption of the whole man and the whole woman. And it is the free gift from God. People that preach that you have to do something in particular, some kind of works to be saved, that is straight from the pits of hell and smells like smoke. And I only need to point to the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me today. Jesus says, assuredly, this day you will be with me in paradise. That thief didn't have time to give in the offering plate. He didn't have time to do good works. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to get to church. He was hanging on a cross. But because he received Jesus Christ, he is in heaven this day singing praises to God the Father. And friends, God is jealous for His children. Listen to me. This church, the church is called the Bride of Christ. Now, I just want you guys to think of something. Look at it this way. I was in the military for 8 years, and I served in the United States Army Airborne Rangers, what they call special ops these days. And I was willing to give my life for my country. I was willing to give my life for strangers. What do you think my attitude would be about my bride if someone tried to harm her? Friends, you are the bride of Christ. And the things that are going on in this world today, the things that are going on in our country today, where people are talking poorly about the bride of Christ, He will exact His vengeance someday, but never forget, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Until He comes, we are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for a miracle that they will turn unto the Lord. In the broadest sense, salvation includes four primary things. It includes regeneration, justification, sanctification, and glorification. You're going, oh, good Lord, the pastor's about to go to seminary on me here. But these things are so simple. If you want my notes afterwards, let me know. I'll email you my notes. Listen, regeneration means you must be born again. You must be born again. Your spirit must be reborn. Rebirth is when you are spiritually reborn. Now, not only should you be born again, not only should you be regenerated, but you must be justified. You must possess justification. Again, this is so simple. I know it's a big word, but justification simply means to be righteous in the eyes of God. To be in right standing. Now, we preachers always quote Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Amen? I just did it earlier. I do it almost every week. Matter of fact, turn in your Bibles. Turn to your left a few chapters to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And go to verse 23. And if you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen. See, I cheated. I had a ribbon right here. If you're Romans chapter 3, verse 23, say amen. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Preachers like to preach that. But listen, friends, never forget that verse 23 follows verse 21 and 22. That's your theology class for today. Look at what it says in verse 21 and 22. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through... what? Faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Friends, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are counted as righteous and justified before our Heavenly Father. You are in right standing. Does it mean that you didn't sin? No, it means you absolutely still sin at times. But when God looks at you, if you've received His Son, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Sanctification. Not only regeneration, not only justification, but sanctification, again, is a very simple concept. When you are saved, you become sanctified. That means you become set apart. What are you set apart for? You are set apart for the glory of God. You are set apart as His people. You are set apart as His child. You are set apart as His messenger. You are set apart as the way in which He will continue to reveal Himself to the world. So when we go into the world, we should be representing King Jesus. And just like the Father sees us as far as our justification and righteousness, sees King Jesus, then when the world looks at us, they should see the reflection of King Jesus in our lives. Amen? When someone is so mean and so nasty and so rude and so corrupted and so declaring against the things of God, we pray. And we feel bad for them. Because they don't know. And they don't know what's coming. And we need to keep that there. You are set aside. You are sanctified. And finally, God's method includes glorification. Oh, Lord, here we come. This is the most incredible method and gift from God of all of the gifts that He presents to us. One day, when time is no more, and we are in God's heaven, beginning eternity there, the glory of God, His honor, His praise, His majesty, His holiness will be completely realized in us. What does that mean? Ladies, you're getting a makeover. And God's going to do it. Can you imagine that? Guys, I know you don't think you need a makeover. But look at the ladies sitting around the sanctuary looking at you right now. You do. Guys, we all get a makeover in heaven. Amen. We get making into heaven. We have glorified bodies and glorified voices and glorified hearts and glorified brains that no longer sin. And when we walk the streets of gold, we talked about this before, that gold is always talks about the glory of God and the grace of God. And so therefore, with every step we take in heaven, with our glorified bodies and hearts and minds and voices, we declare the glory of the Lord. Isn't that good stuff? So in an instant in heaven, instead of mortals with a sin nature, we will be changed in that instant into immortals that have direct, unhindered access into the very presence of God Himself. You want to know what heaven's going to be like? I don't know. But I know it's going to be great, and God's there. Amen. And the King Jesus is there. And when we have these glorified bodies, can you, amen, and can you imagine these glorified bodies and voices and minds and hearts declaring the glory of the Lord with the unhindered access of God's Holy Spirit? You think praise was good this morning? That is nothing compared to when we get to heaven. Has God given you a gift? Imagine that gift fully realized in heaven. Can you imagine what Davidson's going to sound like on the keyboards in heaven? Amen. Talk about rocking heaven. I can't wait to see that keyboard. He has three of them here. I can't wait to see that, but here's what I know. It's going to be good. Amen? So not only the King's medium, not only the King's method. Now let's look at the King's means. Means? Pastor, you just got things to rhyme, didn't you? Well, I did do that. But here's what I'm talking about. What means does God use to bring us the gift of the gospel? Why, the very best means of all. His Word. His Word. His Word, the Holy Scriptures. His Word, the Bible. His Word, the breath of the very God. The living Word of His Scripture. Look in the first sentence of today's passage. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. If you're there, please say amen. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. This is a faithful saying. Worthy of all acceptance. That word acceptance means, you ready for this? Praise. That Greek word right there for acceptance means praise. You know, when you accept God, you can't help but praise Him. Amen? Listen. That would be like asking Jamie to come up here and lead worship without singing. That's not going to happen. Amen? Why, His Word, faithful, worthy. And believe it or not, you can be saved simply through reading His Word. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, "The law is perfect unto salvation." But you know what? Look at this passage up here, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 9. Look at this. I'm going to read it. Read it along up there. Mark this down in your margin. When I get done with this today, you're going to want this. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together." Now we look at this, we look at Scripture, and we see that, and we think, that is magnificent, that is wonderful, that is simply amazing. I can't believe that. It's better than you think. Because when God, listen friends, this psalm, this song sung to God, is presented to us through David by God. And David is writing under the authority, the divine authority and inspiration of God the Father. Watch this. There is so much more to this. Are you guys ready for a nugget? Watch this. Now I'm going to read this, and I'm asking the PowerPoint person to stay right where they are. Look at this. This falls into some sections here. Watch. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Pardon me, the previous one was pure, enlightening the eyes. And finally, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, we look at that. Well, right, Pastor, those things are segmented. Those things are broken down into pieces. I get it. I see what you've got there. It's better than you ever imagined. Because look, first we see this. The Bible contains the law of the Lord. The Bible contains the testimony of the Lord. The Bible contains the statutes of the Lord. The Bible contains the commandment of the Lord. The Bible contains the fear of the Lord. And the Bible contains the judgments of the Lord. The Bible contains everything that you can possibly need, everything that you can possibly use in your life. But it gets better, because not only does the Bible contain these things, we now see that the Bible is perfect. The Bible is pure. All of the things of the Bible are right. All of the Bible itself is sure. It is clean and it is true. You can trust the Word of God. But not only does the Bible contain those things, not only does the Bible is those things, watch this. The Bible sanctifies each and every one of us by these things. You are sanctified. The Bible sanctifies by converting your soul. You are sanctified by being made wise and simple. The Bible sanctifies by rejoicing in the heart. When you praise God, that is part of your sanctification of a holy God. When our praise team sings, when Marcia sings, when Jamie sings, when Cliff, when Brother Jim, when all of our praise teamers sing, when you guys sing out here, you have a rejoicing in your heart. You are being sanctified. The Bible sanctifies by enlightening the eyes. Study the Word of God. You don't need anything else. When you study the Word of God, you will recognize the counterfeit. The Bible sanctifies because it endures forever. God has said, "My Word will endure forever." Jesus said, "Not one jot or tittle shall pass away in no wise." I have come not to abolish the law, meaning the Word of God. I have come to fulfill the Word of God. And finally, the Bible sanctifies when you read the Word of God, when you get into the Word of God, when you hold the Word of God to your heart, the Bible sanctifies and it makes you righteous altogether. You are right standing before a holy God. Give God praise in His house. Friends, what else could you possibly want? What else could we use in a Savior? What else could we use in the Gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, God has made a way. He's made a way home, amen? The King has provided the medium. The King has provided the method. The King has provided the means. What King? None other than King Jesus Christ Himself. Christos Yeshua, the Anointed of God. What else can I say about this amazing, this incredible, this amazing, magnificent gift of God, the Gospel? What else can I say about King Jesus? Look in your Bibles right now at verse 17. Let us close this. I will be reading this every single week. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. You know what?
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.